Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy, but most of all, your Son that makes all that possible. Father, we thank you that you brought us here to this place, that we might be an encouragement to one another, that we might be a help to one another, but that we might receive your encouragement and your strength given through your word, both in song and in scripture. And so, Father, as we come to this time of study, enlighten us, open our hearts and our minds that we might be able to see you, to see your Son, to see you more clearly and how it is that you would have us live out the words that you have left behind for us that have been sealed through history. We thank you, Father, for these words. We thank you for your Son who makes them all possible. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to have everybody here with us this morning. As Neil made mention of earlier, we are beginning a new study together, a new series. Just like everything else, as season comes and season goes, sermon series come and sermon series go. And so this week we're beginning a study over a topic called Living a Purpose-Driven Life. We're using as a frame of reference, really as a tool throughout the week, so that when we come to these times together, we'll have thoughts already going through our minds as Pastor Rick Warren has laid out his thoughts on what it means to live a life on purpose for God. And that's what we seek to do here, to use his book as an aid throughout our week so that we might on Sunday mornings receive encouragement and strength together. Maybe even talk a little bit about it. Talk a little bit about what we've read and what we've heard and what we've learned. And also maybe something just a little bit extra for us to take as we all desire to be a people who live a life on purpose for God. And that's where I want to start. I want to start by asking a question. And I'm sure that everybody can say, yes, you have asked this question too. Have you ever wondered what the purpose of your life was? Think about it. Has there ever been a time and point in your life when you wondered what your purpose in this life was? You ask why you were born, why you are even here on this planet, what your calling was in life. And I'm here to tell you this morning that you are not alone. For as long as we have written record of human existence, man has sought to answer this question of existence. Simply put, why am I alive? Even the prophet Jeremiah, a servant of the Lord, questioned his existence, saying, "Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame?" Well, obviously, he was having a pretty rough day. But this is not an uncommon question for those both serving the Lord and those yet apart from Him. We spend our whole lives searching and seeking after something. Some seeking wealth, some seeking fame, some searching relationships and trying to find fulfillment within them, some seeking this and that or the other. Whatever it is, we are all searching and seeking for something. Because we desire our lives to have significance. Asking the question, does my life matter? But specifically, we search for the purpose of our individual lives. Asking, what is my purpose? As believers, we know that our lives matter to God because we were created in His image and His likeness. But despite knowing this truth, despite being able to say this truth, we still know that as individuals, we seek to find what we are called to do in this life. You see, it was the psalmist who said, "Remember how short my life is. Have you created Adam's descendants for no reason?" He's asking God, "I have a short life. You know it. At best, the Bible tells us that we are given 70 years. 70 years of living, and whatever else is added to it's just gravy. It's just extra. Some don't live that long. Even if you do live the full 70 years, even if you do get that extra gravy on your life, the question still remains, my life is so short, what am I supposed to do with it? What kind of an impact am I going to make? Who am I going to help? What am I specifically going to do to add to the human race, to add benefit to this life? As human beings, we want to know what our purpose is. It's Rick Warren that reminds us in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, it's not all about you. It's not all about you. This life is not all about you. It's not all about me. In fact, the purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your own peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's greater than your family, greater than your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. For you were born by His purpose and for His purpose. The Bible tells us it is God who directs the lives of His creatures. Everyone's life is in His power. God has a purpose for you. He directs your life. His life, your life, is under His power, His direction, His leading, and His guiding. His purpose for you is to love Him and for Him to love you. Living your life for God results in the best that life has to offer. And what is the best that this life has to offer? His love in this life. It's as simple as that. His love, His presence, His guiding, and His leading in this life. But apart from His purpose, we live in difficulty because we live against our design for us. Look at it this way. It's like a can opener in your kitchen. It does great opening all different kinds of metal cans of all different sizes and shapes. But when you expect your can opener to take out the trash, you've got a problem. Because it's acting outside of the purpose in which it was intended for. And what's going to end up happening is you're going to have a smelly house and lots of garbage laying around. We cannot act outside of the purpose in which we are created for. Because when we live outside of the purpose, there are consequences to pay. And the first is, without knowing your purpose, life will seem tiresome. Without knowing your purpose, life will seem tiresome. The writer of Ecclesiastes had a lot to say about life. As an older man, he's looking back on his life and desiring that he tell another future generation, tell a younger man exactly what he has learned so that he might do the good things he's done and not make the mistakes that he has made. In sharing his life with this younger man, he tells him in the first chapter, the sun rises and the sun sets. Then it hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south, and then it turns north. And around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers, and it flows out again to the sea. Everything is wearisome beyond description. You know, it took a lifetime for this man to figure this out, but he wanted to make sure that the generation that followed him knew the truth of life from someone who probably spent a long time living against his God-given purpose. These words preserved for the generation that followed the writer are also preserved by God for all the generations who follow throughout the history of the world to us today. And the writer's point? He states, basically, that nothing is different. There is nothing new under the sun, as he says. All pursuits lead to the same end. The ways of the world lead to wearisome, while the ways of God lead to life. For Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow, though, that leads to life. And there are few who find it. As we travel the roads of life, we will find the ways that we travel at times to be more wearisome than others. We will also notice that in this pursuit of purpose, without knowing your purpose, life will seem unfulfilling. Life will seem unfulfilling. Again, the writer of Ecclesiastes tells us, our eyes can never see enough to be satisfied. Our ears can never hear enough. What has happened before will happen again. What has been done before will be done again. In our world today, there are many ways to seek satisfaction and to seek pleasure. And they come in many different forms, some good, some bad. And they offer the same unsatisfying presence, unless it is of God. It's funny how drugs, sex, and fortune are all different things, but yet they lead all people to the same end over prolonged exposure. That end? Unfulfillment with our lives, our families, our circumstances, and so on. Yet it is even funnier how prayer, the reading of the scriptures, and worship always ends with the same experience after prolonged exposure. That end being the fulfillment of the plan of God in our lives, in our families, in our circumstances, in our jobs, and within ourselves. Why? Because we know that God is in control. And if God is in control when we live for His purposes, without knowing His purposes, life will seem uncontrollable. Life will seem uncontrollable. The writer of Ecclesiastes shares with us again, you cannot straighten out what is crooked. You can't count things that aren't there. You know, my dad told me a story one time. Actually, he told it to me this week. He said he was about 10 or 11 years old, and his parents had just bought him a new bicycle. It was a great bicycle. It was one that he rode all up and down the streets of Roanoke City, and he loved that bicycle. He said in his day growing up, which really wasn't that long ago, that a bicycle was just a fantastic gift. You could do so much with it. It was better than TV, he said. Of course, he didn't have that much of an option where he lived. And so his bicycle was so great that his brother envied his new bicycle, and he wanted to ride it. He wanted to give it a ride around town to see just how good this bicycle was. And so my dad said, sure, go ahead. I'll let you ride it. And he said that his brother rode it around that evening and came back to the house. They went to bed and they got up the next morning and they were sitting around the breakfast table. And my dad's dad looks to him and he says, son, do you know where your bicycle is? Dad said, no, I don't know where it is. He was the last one who drove it. Last one who rode it. He was the one who rode it around yesterday evening and was supposed to put it back. And he said, well, son, your bicycle is behind my car. Why don't you go get it? Put it away. Dad goes outside, you know, naive as most of us are, at least as I am. And he walks outside and finds his bicycle, as he says, to be a pretzel. That bicycle was marred. It was mangled. It was torn up under the weight of the vehicle. His brother had left it behind my grandfather's car, and he just backed right over it on the way to work that morning, on the way out of the house. Dad was upset, of course. I know I would be too. And like every little boy, Dad tried to bend it back in shape, but you know just as well as I do that it was marred beyond repair. Now, isn't that our lives sometimes, folks? When we approach our lives like a novice or like a child beyond their experience, no matter how old we are, we find ourselves sometimes to be placed in messy situations, and everything we try to do just seems to make things worse. Mars our situation up even further. Well, who is it then that can save this messed up situation? Who can make things right after what our lives have become, after what we have done to our lives? It is then that we should hear the voice of Jesus saying, what is impossible with man is possible with God. What is impossible with man is possible with God. When life seems to be out of control, let go and let God. When life seems to be out of control, let go and let God. So who this morning is struggling? Who this morning is trying to find their purpose? Who is needing to let go and let God? Who of us has been made tired by some wearisome road that has marred our life out of control. Well, I'm here to tell you again that you are not alone. Since the beginning of time, man has sought purpose and the meaning of life. Many have gotten lost. Many have gotten confused along the way. In fact, it was Daniel Boone that said of his own life that I have never been lost, but I will admit to being confused for several weeks. So how is it then that we are supposed to maintain focus on this journey of purpose? How are we to maintain focus on our love for the Lord and His will for us? I have two words. Maybe you are living out your purpose well. Maybe you are struggling. Maybe you have never actually answered the question of what on earth am I here for? What is my purpose? I have two simple words to tell you. How do we keep our focus on this journey of purpose? It's simply this: following Jesus. Following Jesus. It was Paul who said in the book of Philippians, I have not yet reached the goal, but I continue trying to reach it and to make it mine. Christ wants me to do that, which is the reason He made me His. Brothers and sisters, I know that I have not yet reached that goal, but there is one thing I always do. Forgetting the past and straining toward what is ahead, I keep trying to reach the goal and get the prize for which God called me through Christ to the life above. Like the writer of Ecclesiastes, Paul was looking back on his life with Christ and desiring to share what he had gained and what he had gleaned about that life with those who could use his encouragement, with those who were in a place like he was that were trying to find and maintain their purpose, to try to pursue Christ with all their hearts. And this encouragement that was given from Paul to these people in his days are the same words, like the book of Ecclesiastes, that have been preserved by God for us today. For Paul, he has a reason to live, and it is for Christ and Christ alone. He has found his purpose, and he is living it out, and he is enjoying the benefits, and the same can be true for us. Just as Paul, knowing the purpose of your life, will give your life focus. Knowing the purpose of your life will give your life focus. Paul says, there is one thing I always do. In your life today, and in mine, is there one thing that we always do? In the morning, I hope you always get up and brush your teeth because nobody wants to smell that stinky breath. Do you always eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Do you always go to work like you're supposed to? Do you always tell people in your life that you love them? What is it that we always do in our lives? Well, how about our life for Christ? Is there something that we do every day? Of all the things that we focus on and all the things that try to grab our attentions, like promotions, families, maybe even retirement plans, there is one thing that we can do every day that will help us maintain our focus on them all, on all the things in our lives that demand our attention. One thing that will keep us focused on their purpose for us and our purpose for life. And that is following Jesus. Following Jesus. Paul also tells us in the book of Colossians, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if you were working for the Lord, not for human masters. So focus on your job, but don't do it for your boss. Don't even do it for the pay. Do it for the Lord. Don't worry. You'll please your boss. And you'll bring home a paycheck too. Focus on your husband or on your wife. Not for them, but for the Lord. Don't worry, you'll please them too. Don't focus on your children just for their sake. Focus on them for the Lord. But don't worry. You'll focus on them. You'll please them too. You'll give them a happy home because you are focusing on Jesus, and that will focus our lives. Second, knowing the purpose of your life will simplify your life. Knowing the purpose of your life will simplify your life. For Paul, simplifying his life and simplicity in his life meant forgetting the past and straining toward what is ahead. Well, what's ahead of Paul? Well, what is he that he is reaching after, that he is striving after? I'll tell you, it's life. But not just life, it's life more abundantly. Paul focused on living his life on earth for Jesus that he may maintain more clarity on the life that yet lies ahead of him. For Paul, maintaining this focus meant simplifying his thoughts. His thoughts were on Jesus. His thoughts were not on his past life, where he used to kill people and put them in prison that followed the same way that he now pursued. It wasn't for Paul focusing on the people that he once angered, the things that he said to them that make him feel guilty. No, it wasn't even the dramas of his life, both past and present, invited and uninvited. No, he simplified his thoughts on the hope and the peace of living in love with Jesus and what his purpose has to offer to us. It was the prophet Isaiah who said, "You, Lord, give perfect peace to those who keep their purpose firm and put their trust in you." Perfect peace for those who keep their purpose firm and put their trust in you. It could then be said that simplicity in life leads to peace. Simplicity in life leads to peace. Third, knowing the purpose of your life will increase motivation in your life. Knowing the purpose of your life will increase motivation in your life. Paul said, "I keep trying to reach the goal." Now, this word motivation is defined by today's popular dictionaries as the reason one has for acting or behaving in a particular way. Paul's motivation, the reason he acted and behaved the way he did, this living each day for the Lord and striving with all that was within to reach his goal, was because he knew what he was placed on this planet, what he was placed on earth for. And it was to live for the purpose in which God had called him. First, to love him because God loved him first. And to live for the plan that resulted in following God with all his heart. A specific plan at that. God called Paul in a specific way, in a specific place, to do specific things, to minister and bless specific people. He does the same thing for Paul as he does for us today. He did the same thing for us that he did for Paul. We all have a specific plan in our life. His people have a specific calling. It was the prophet Jeremiah who spoke on behalf of God to the Hebrew people, saying, "I alone know the plans I have for you. Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future that you hope for." God alone knows the plans that he has for our lives, for each of our lives. Great plans, wonderful plans. Sometimes they may be filled with hardships and toil, but they are always lives filled with the presence of God and the promise of eternity. Not only here on earth, but this future of heaven, which is worth hoping for. This is why we are inclined to search for purpose in life, because knowing the purpose of your life will prepare you for eternity. Knowing the purpose of your life will prepare you for eternity. Paul focused on simplicity that he might gain motivation for eternity, saying, "And get the prize for which God called me through Christ to the life above. He focused on simplicity that he might maintain motivation for eternity and get the prize for which God called him through Christ to the life above. It is the writer of Ecclesiastes that says, he has set eternity in the human heart. We are all designed to live forever, and that God desires it be with him. For those who choose the eternity he has to offer, Paul said in 2 Corinthians, God has placed his mark of ownership on us. And who has given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the guarantee of all that he has in store for us. And what is it that's in store for us? Jesus shares with us that in his Father's house are many dwelling places. If you're reading the King James, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We live for God. We live and focus on Christ for the purpose that he has called us to now, that we might live with him in heaven. In fact, God has so much in store for those who live according to his purpose that he is having to redesign heaven. He is having to make it over. He is making it new. John the Revelator wrote, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them.'" They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the former things, the old order of things, has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." God is so looking forward to his children receiving their eternity, their destiny, the purpose for which we were made. A place where he is with his people, his bride, and we are with him. All the hardships of life, the toils of life, and the troubles of life, all the things demanding our focus and our attention, will be passed away in the light of eternity with God. Wouldn't that be great to not have to deal with the struggles and the hardships and the pains and the trials that we have to deal with here, that we deal with now? The things that seem to come up that we both invite into our lives and that we don't invite into our lives. The things that people bring into our lives that we did not ask for them to bring. But yet, the things that we have to deal with, won't it be wonderful in the light of eternity for all those things to be passed away for those who live their purpose for God while they're here? Heaven is worth living on purpose for God, because everything is new. It's a great life that I think I could get used to, and I think you could too. The best part of it is that this is a promise that is trustworthy and true. Our purpose on earth is to be loved by God and to love him back. Rick Warren reminds us again in his book that while life on earth offers many choices, eternity only offers two: heaven or hell. Your relationship to God on earth will determine your relationship to him in eternity. If you learn to love and trust God's Son Jesus, you will be invited to spend the rest of eternity with him. But on the other hand, if you reject his love, forgiveness, and salvation, you will spend eternity apart from God forever. So here's the choice: to live for the purpose for which we were intended and created, or purposelessness. Live for the purpose for which we were intended and created, or purposelessness. You have been presented with the evidences and the reasons for purpose in Christ. The question remains, and I ask, how are you going to answer, what on earth am I here for? What on earth am I here for? Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy, your peace. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the life that He came to bring, that life more abundantly with you, that life both lived here but yet transferred to eternity. Thank you so much that we can live a life of purpose for you, that we have an opportunity, though yet we are sinners, you will save us and redeem us. You will make us right. That you will throw away all the wrong things that we've done, never bring them up again. Lord, that's wonderful. So I pray for every single person in this room that walks out of these doors today that they're living on purpose. That they know what they're here for, what you have placed them here for. But I also pray for those who don't know their purpose, that they might reach out to you and seek direction from you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.